Our ancestors conquered the pioneers and frontiers.
Hey guys, look at my new pussy.
This is what America has turned. Oh my God. Yeah, let them get married. Let them do all this stuff and look what we got. Chopping off my nuts to make a pussy. How does that even work?
Welcome to the All-American Savage Show podcast with your host, John Burkin, and his far more attractive co-host, me. Now, let's get into it. That's what your mom said.
American Savage Show podcast. I am your host, John Burke, with my beautiful heterosexual bearded Jewish life partner across from me, operating those controls like a
porn star.
Oh, I see what you did there. Like a porn star. What's going on, folks? Thank you for being here with us today. Unfortunately, yesterday we had like massive technical issues, and I think I've gotten them fixed, God willing, because if not, I was about to just go out there and blow the computer up. So, now, you'll see in today's, the title of today's episode, it says, Jenna does divorce court and John takes an edible. This is actually incorrect. John already took an edible. Now, to be fair, in John's defense, last night, his fiance was making Delta 8 treats for a new Shell Shock video, and one of the ingredients was the Cookie Crisps. You know what I'm talking about? The cereal?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those things. Like, I rarely would ever get them because they were so loaded with sugar. My mom was a big anti-sugar person. But when we did get them, like, it was like, oh, like heaven. Like, yeah. Like, we were smuggling the shit in. Like, yeah, we were dealing drugs. Like, you want some Twix? I got some Twizzlers. Man, I got some Red Vines, motherfucker. What you want? It was like that, yeah. It was rough life, man. Living off, like, the worst cereal we got was, like, cornflakes, and we couldn't put sugar on it. It's like, this sucks. So, and then, you know, you go to school, and you see all these other kids who have, like, normal parents. They talk about, like, oh, my mom packed me Lucky Charms in a bag. I was like, Lucky Charms? I like Lucky Charms. Yeah, that's how bad it was. So, you think you got a bad in Africa on the Sudan? Try living in a Pentecostal household. No, I'm just totally kidding. So, yeah. Sheila made a little treat for a video for content, and it involved the Cookie Crisps, and part of it was dipping it in a chocolate, has Delta 8 in it, and it was the white dipped part was the only Delta 8, because it was, it's like a marshmallowy, it's so good. When she I don't know when she's posting the video, it's delicious. So, I go in the fridge this morning, and I took a bite of the non-chocolate dipped part, which apparently from her mouth to God's ears was, there's no Delta 8 in this. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, she's a goddamn liar. I am so fucking baked right now. Oh, my God. It was just like, it's bad. It's good. Like, I'm sitting, no, it's like really good, but oh, fuck me running, dude. Like, and it, thank God, it didn't really start hitting me till after the gym. I got a great gym workout this morning. I did chest and arms and did some practicing. And then I get here and it's just like, oh shit. It's like, I know what this is. Like, oh, hello there. I know you.
Were you real sociable at the gym?
No. Around? I was more to myself. I'm just more to myself. I enjoy music more, but the anxiety just melts away. You know, I think maybe probably am a little bit more sociable because you just, you know, you don't care.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I love doing microdosing Delta. Like, this is why Dan Fitzpatrick fucknut, whatever his name is, lieutenant governor, somebody needs to like give him some. It's like, maybe it would just like take the pine cone out of your ass and you'd be like a real human being for once. Like, maybe, I don't know.
Definitely.
He's probably like a good guy for all I know, but still, it's like, come on, dude, don't be a schmuck. You schmuck. Anyway. But yeah. That sucker's strong, dude. Oh, it's strong. And she was using rocket fuel. She was using rocket fuel and then I forget what kind of chocolate she was mixing it in. Because when you put it in that fat, it makes it hit you 10 times stronger.
It does.
It does. I have like the just growing desire to go back home and re-download World of Warcraft and just veg out for the entire day, just baked, and just play World of War, like a level one character. Like, let's just go. Yeah. That's like the nostalgic feelings you have. That's what I love about it. It's because Delta 8 is great for memory recall, which is nuts. Because there'll be times when I'm like, I'm on it. And you just start, like, you start getting those feelings from, I don't know, like, specific moments in your life that you just really loved. For me, it was, like, gaming, World of Warcraft, like, the all-night benders with your friends, just, like, going out and taking on, like, Naxx, 25, man. Yeah, you're not a nerd. You don't know what I'm talking about, Josh. You weren't there.
All right.
Kind of a sad world when Josh is, like, the better, less virgin-y of the two of us. He's, like, the cooler dude.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
I don't know if that was a backhanded cut. I don't know what that was. That was like kudos to you.
All right, thanks. You're a lot.
You and your freaking shorts and your tennis shoes and sneakers and yeah. Oh my gosh. But hopefully, is everything good? Everything working? All right, I think we're good. Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah. Sorry about yesterday's show. Everything just went wrong. I don't know what happened. We were talking about Dr. Malone and COVID, and then
that was it.
Yeah. The boys in the FBI listening. Like, hey, we got to shut it down. Shut it down, Johnny. But, sorry about that. No show yesterday. I mean, we did a show for like 30 minutes, and then it was poof, gone. I was like, well, that was a lot of wasted effort.
What was it like?
Poof.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, too.
What does that even mean?
I thought the same thing.
Poof. You thought poof? What was puffy about it? Like, you make it sound like gay.
Your sound effects.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're just a stupid face. Well, before we get into today's show, folks, we got a great ad read from our friends over at World of Warship. Let me see if I can get this right. Boom, here we go. We got this going on. With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the seas in the world of warships. That's not the sound effect that goes with, but yeah, you get where I'm going. World of Warships, come check it out. Right now, I believe it's code Bravo. If you download it, get some great deals. Let's keep going with it. Weather effects make each battle unique and change the tactics of the battle, with each ship being hyper-accurate to the real thing. Each battle will make you feel like you are actually there. Okay, maybe not. Does it go back that far? Is like Jack Sparrow the Black Pearl an option? Yeah, probably not. Each week, there is something new to experience with a steady cadence of new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours on end. Actually, is this on mobile? To my chat, my Rumble chat, is this game on Mumble? I got a lot of a lot of nerd friends.
World of Warships?
World of Warships. Is that a mobile one?
Yeah, it's on mobile too.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's very good.
I'm going to play it right now.
You can play it right now while he's doing it. World of Warships has a large active community that brings people of all types together. Join clans to compete in competitive game modes and talk with fellow wargamers on our official Discord or discuss the game on our forum. Since launch, we've added over 500 ships across 10 different nations. Weather effects and armor viewer modes enhance the realism on the high seas. Steady cadence of missions and events to add to the excitement. World of Warships currently has millions of players. World of Warships' official launch was on September 17th of 2015. There you go. World of Warships. Check it out. Actually, we had some people commenting before. They said they actually play the game. They love it. It's a big deal. I remember watching people play it on Twitch when I was a Twitch streamer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. World of Warships. Check it out now.
Do it.
Do it. Do it now. They sponsored the show. So do it. You bastards. speaking of stuff we like watching, have you seen the new Fallout series?
I have not.
You need to. It's actually really good. Based off the video game. You played the video game Fallout?
It's been a long time.
Same. But the series is actually really, really good. Sheila and I started watching it, I think, like a week or two ago. And it actually, it's very engaging. It's a little mysterious. It's very well done. It takes on like a 1950s nuclear kind of era, but with more modern technological advances as far as like the music is kind of like the old Zoot Suit, Boogie Woogie. But they do have like modernistic things. It's a weird genre, but they do it so very well. But the series itself, it keeps you engaged. It's really good. Check it out. Anybody? Anybody?
You know what I was watching last night was the Netflix show Unlocked. Have you heard about that?
No. What's that about?
It's about this prison, and they let the prisoners just kind of roam free in their area there.
Wait, is this like?
It's an experiment. Like, it's a real thing.
Wait,
they're actual inmates.
Wait.
And they're like. They have to take care of their own problems, and they're allowed to be out of their cells and walk around. And you know.
And there's a reality television show about this.
Yeah.
You're fucking kidding me.
No, I don't know. It's one guy got beat up last night by a bunch of other guys. I'm like, it's like, sorry about that, guys. It's part of the experiment. Like some guy got his ass beat by like four or five guys.
Yeah.
It's intense. I'll say it's intense.
It sounds like it's intense. Good Lord. So now in America.
Try watching that stoned.
Now in America.
Oh, God.
In America, we are now doing reality television inside of fucking prisons.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Oh, God. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. It is Sodom and Gomorrah. How much lower do you get? Like, what else is there to do reality television over? Now we're going into prisons.
Anybody else seen it?
Is this
called
really
Unlocked? I've watched like two or three episodes.
I kind of feel like this is eventually we're gonna get like a Mortician reality television show. Like I don't know. It's kind of like Pawn Stars or more like Mortician. Ugh. Dude, it's so weird. Like everything we do, everything public. Is reality TV now.
Yeah, it is.
It's just I don't get it. I just don't get it. But whatever.
Darrington, you started watching it last night. What'd you think? I thought it's pretty intense. I don't know that I'm going to finish the whole thing just because it's.
How many seasons are out?
This is the first one.
Oh, okay.
And he thought it was great.
So these prisoners get paid to do this?
I don't think.
They're probably getting paid more than us.
No.
You don't think so?
No, they're not.
Oh, come
on. They're not getting paid. You just have to see it paid. Because it's the like inside of a penitentiary and like,
right,
all the cells. So they don't have to be confined to their cells. So they're able to walk around and play cards and. So what happened was one of the guys was cheating at a card game, and he got caught. And so
they raped him.
Well, they beat the shit out of him.
And then they raped him.
There was no raping.
Oh.
Fortunately for him, I guess.
That's what it is. That's what everybody's mind goes to. It's like, okay, here goes the butt raping. This is going to be a very interesting experience.
He's going to get a good raping now.
There's Tyrone and ganging up on the white area and just butt raping him. Yeah, great experience. No, they have to pay these guys. I mean, let me ask you this, though. Does it revolve around main characters or just they generalize the entire population?
It's Pop? It's okay. Just like this is the population and they're just, you know, basically like documentary style following these guys, interviewing them as things happen throughout the
You know,
day.
Man, I feel like when...
General unit.
I just feel like you can't go any lower. They get like the Nazis over on one side. It's like, we don't like the blacks here very much. I don't know why my whites are suddenly like Austrian, but still. It's American prison, but they have Nazis, whatever. It's sad, man. It's freaking sad. But here's the sad thing, though. I'd probably watch it. I'd watch an episode and be like, yeah, this makes me feel really good about myself.
Well, it's like this.
You think you got problems? Look at these guys butt raping each other. It's for television.
Correctional officers are supposed to be watching the cameras, and clearly they're not because... group of them were like outside of the cell while
brought to you by the officers that guarded Epstein.
Yeah, I could see how Epstein got killed now.
They're not watching anything. Probably because they don't want to watch them butt fucking. It's like, I'm not watching this, Steve. Let them murder each other. I don't give a shit.
Turn it off, Steve. Let's go golfing.
That's why you gotta get gay like guards. Oh, can you imagine? Oh. Huh. Imagine being sent to gay prison and you're straight.
Isn't all prison maybe
a little gay? Mm. But what if your guards are gay too?
I guess you're in luck.
I mean, you're like in the shower, the guard's like, hey, Steve, looking good. How's that thing hanging? It's like, this is not what I killed for. It's like, I didn't kill to be here.
No, Hobo, it's not the one with Forrest Whitaker. Kind of like that, though.
Oh, my God.
Forrest had the lazy
every time. Yeah, every time somebody says the lazy Forrest Whitaker eye. Thank you, memes of the internet. Oh, my God. Hey, turn on your... Actually, never mind. Not everybody's going to be able to hear that. All right, screw it. Let's get into the show. But yeah, you should definitely check out that Fallout. And the other one is called Unlocked.
Tummy sticks and commissary. Yeah.
I'm going to check your prison pocket. Here we go. Good Lord, bear with us. Oh, Lord, bear with us. Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot. She is trying to wreck the GOP. This comes to us from Fox News. Fox is taking a shot at Marjorie Taylor Greene? You see... You know, my mind goes down the rabbit hole of she's going after Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson's MAGA. You know, Fox is going to have to support MAGA because MAGA's Trump. So Fox is going to run hit pieces against anyone that goes against the Trump endorsement. So it's like they're walking on very thin ice here because, like, okay, do you potentially offend Trump by running a slant against Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom he likes? Or do you instead, you know, go the opposite direction? Like, which way do you go on this one? Do you insult Marjorie Taylor Greene or do you go after Mike Johnson? It's like, well.
Is Mike Johnson, is he a...
He
MAGA
says,
guy?
He's more than MAGA. He actually said he's a wartime House Speaker. He literally said this. I don't know if people heard this or not. Basically, he said, I'm like a wartime House Speaker. And it's just like, we're not at war, dude. Have y'all seen this chat?
Yet,
yeah. Ukraine's flaring up. Israel's just like, come on, Cameron. I know I'm not the only one that sees this. So people don't know where to go on this. Mike Johnson goes in there. His first things he does, Israel and Ukraine, more money. Boom. It's like, how is that American first? Yeah. But, you know, I do have to give Marjorie Taylor Greene credit. Like, she does speak her mind, and she puts her money where her mouth is. It's high time. Who actually wrote this article first? I want to see. Liz Peek. Don't know who that is. Side time, someone in the Republican Party told Marjorie Taylor Greene to turn all that bombastic, self-serving showmanship and drama queen energy on Democrats and stop trying to defeat her own party. The Georgia Republican, who famously displayed sexually explicit photos of Hunter Biden during a committee hearing and called fellow Representative Lauren Boebert a bitch on the House floor, is known for wild. Man, when you say this, it sounds like some seriously. It makes the reality television show about the prison look tame. This is like Karens of Dallas. I don't know. It's like something. This is our Congress, folks. This is our Congress. We got the jihad squad of minorities over there just refusing to actually vote to say that, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free is an actual anti-Semitic slant or chant, rather, about murdering the Jews and genocide. They refuse to vote in saying that's what that is. Like, oh, that's not what it is. It's like you could be sitting there going, Sieg Heil. It's like, well, Hans, is that what that means? Like, no, that's not what that means. It means hello in German. And I will not vote. Like, what the fuck? We know what it means. If it didn't mean that, why would you say it? It doesn't even. It's just. People just need to get smacked. You just need to smack them.
Good smacking.
Good smacking. Wild antics and equally harebrained conspiracy theories. Well, she's not wrong on the Jewish laser. That was real. That really did her a massive disservice. I'm not going to lie. When that went out, it was super viral. It was like, oh, good Lord. We've got the QAnon Jewish space laser congressional Karen now. This is great. But in a weird way, though, it's kind of like you do want her there. She does bring a certain level of entertainment value that's just like.
I think, you know, we need her. I've got to be honest.
She's a retard, but damn it, she's our retard. And we love her.
To say stuff.
It's like our George Bush Jr. when he was actually a Republican. It's like, yeah, he's kind of stupid, but he's our stupid guy. But now it's like, dude, you're a stupid liberal, so he's your problem now.
Yeah, she's not afraid to speak her mind out there.
I do respect it for that. Yeah. I actually do. I mean, half the shit she says, I'm like, oh my God, repeal the 19th. Please, God, repeal the 19th.
I thought her bringing up those pictures of Hunter Biden.
Yeah, she is actually one of the only congressional representatives or congresswomen that actually gave a fuck about the January 6th people.
Yeah.
She's one of the very few. I will give her kudos on that one. Even though I don't like a lot of what she does for the most part. I just dropped the headphones, so we're going to have to buy another one. Currently, she is threatening to oust Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson. The Louisiana representative with a 5-vote majority in the House is attempting to keep his caucus intact as he navigates treacherous issues, including funding Ukraine, which has become unpopular with some conservatives, and reauthorizing the controversial Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Now, here's the thing. It's not just Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, Thomas Massie, we talked about this yesterday, Massie is coming out calling for Johnson to resign. And Massie is not normally this vocal. You don't see Massie go on the attack a lot. I mean, he does work with people I don't care for, like Matt Gaetz. He's like, you know, they got to keep the relationship. I understand that. But when Massie actually comes in, you've met the dude. His personality, He's not a very aggressive dude, but he's smart and he knows his shit. So when Massie comes out and starts calling for resignation, you know it's serious. And Massie is probably the most constitutionally sound member of Congress that we've currently got. Outside of Rand Paul, and Rand Paul's been kind of busy with the whole Dr. Fauci, which is going to be a dead end, but still. So when you've got Thomas Massie joining forces with the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene, who again, for me, represents more of the MAGA-based Republicans, and you've got Massie that's more libertarian-based conservatism, in a sense, you do have different political factions realistically on the right uniting. Two big names, to be honest with you, because MAGA does love Marjorie Taylor Greene, and libertarians do love Thomas Massie, although Thomas Massie isn't, well, yeah, he is. He is pretty much libertarian for the most part. So, but it's interesting. And right now, again, political battle lines are being redrawn. So now it's kind of like before, it's like, okay, you got Marjorie Taylor Greene and Boebert. Which side are we taking on this one? Me, I was like, none, because it's like watching the fat Jell-O cheerleaders. It's like, yeah, I'll watch because it's just gross. We have to see this. It's whatever. That should be a reality television show. But still, it's crazy. But I don't know. BS Shoper says, are you voting Biden or Trump? Simple litmus test. Don't know where you stand after DeSantis whining. Well, I'm certainly not. Here's the thing. I don't like you people. You see, that's the problem with you. It's just like you think because now I have two options, I have to vote for either candidate. Bro, I'll vote straight Republican and skip the presidency. I don't give a fuck. I don't play these games. And it's like, it's people like you. It's like, after the DeSantis whining, DeSantis is probably one of the best candidates we could have put up. When we look at the 2020 midterms, or 22 midterms, our candidates are garbage. They're not even rooted in, I mean, look at Kerry Lake for, oh my God. You know, this is the problem right here. Like, these motherfuckers get me started. I try and stay away from this, but you little cocksuckers, you little MAGA cocksuckers out there, you just get me all riled up and shit. This is what we're forced to choose between. And I wanted to go RFK, but then RFK brings on that fucking wackadoodle. I'm sorry. Well, she did actually come out today and do more of the, she's against the vaccines. Like, she promotes myocarditis, yada, yada, yada.
Sorry, I just can't believe any of it.
That's the other part. It's like, it's very in line with RFK's policies and what he stands for. But from where she comes from, wasn't she on the opposite end of the spectrum? In a sense of like, she was, I thought, I could have swore she was like hardcore vax.
I'd have to go back and look, but I just, nothing about that ticket impressed me at all.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of DeSantis people that have switched over to the RFK camp, and it's been very interesting to watch them kind of do this shift of like, you know, DeSantis, he's our man. Now it's RFK. RFK would be one of those vote and hold your noses for me. Like, if I had to, it's like, oh, I'm not going to enjoy doing this.
Like, I think he would be better than Biden.
I 100% agree. But I'm talking about coming from a more conservatarian position, I think. I should just say libertarian position. But when he brought her on, I was like, dude, you sank your campaign. That was just a dumb move to make. Yeah. So, I don't know. But
he should have went after Tulsi Gabbard if he was going to do that. I mean,
I think Trump still might. I don't know.
I'm talking about RFK.
She turned him down.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I told you that. It's like the second time I've told you that.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she came out on Fox, I think, and said that. He'd approached her, and, you know, she politely turned him down. It's like, I kind of would, too.
Yeah, I think that would have been a better ticket for him, obviously.
Well, RFK's got a history of anti-2A remarks, and so does Tulsi. So neither of them have had any congressional proof to back their statement of kind of like reversing course on the Second Amendment. So it's like, therefore, we're forced to take them at their word. And when it comes to the Second Amendment, if you've been against it in the past, I kind of feel like I don't know. That's like, I do respect people changing their minds. But when it comes to actually being a congressional representative and voting accordingly, we've gotten so many freaking anti to our so many FUDs Republicans that it's like I don't even trust Republicans half the time now to actually vote and none at all. Because it's always, I mean, for example, look at Mike Johnson. Look at the renewal of the FISA, you know, it's pretty clear in the Constitution, you should not be allowed to spy on your citizens. The Patriot Act should never have been a thing. Never have been a thing. But again, look at the conditions at the time that they basically put it forward. It was right after 9/11. America was spun up on the terrorism thing. And so what do? It's like, oh, well, hey, to keep you safe, we need to start interjecting ourselves more into your life for your safety. Now, isn't it interesting that Mike Johnson comes out and before he voted against, you know, he even said thousands upon thousands of FBI oversteps, yada, 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 violations. But as soon as I go to the SCIF briefing, well, then it changes your perspective. Really? Like, seriously. So now you're willing to compromise your supposed constitutional values for but the option of safety? And, you know, I love it that they say, this is the good they've done. And I say this repeatedly, but how much bad have you done? Now, I mean, let's be serious about this. 9/11, they had intel. Pearl Harbor, they had intel. There have been, like, I mean, even look at the Parkland shooting. 22 times the FBI went to that kid's house prior to him going there. That's like, what would you say you do here? But then, you know, for me, I think the more serious argument comes into when you are starting to investigate parents, and this is a real thing. This was not made up. When you're going to investigate parents that are protesting at school board meetings because they don't want gay porn in their son or daughter's school library, and you label them domestic terrorists. I mean, yeah, it's kind of hard to support you after that. Like, you're really just, yeah, fuck you. Abolish them all. But, yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene goes after Mike Johnson. And now you got these reporters in Fox going after Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, stop destroying the party. The party's, it's got a cancer.
Yeah, they did it to themselves.
I hate to say I told you so. But how many times have I told people, it's like, the GOP has got some really bad blood to get out of its system, and it's going to take a while. And here we are. I kind of feel like we're probably getting to, like, the middle of it, because I don't think we can take much more. I really don't. It's turned into a three-ring circus. We've got so many rhinos, and it just feels like the GOP itself has shifted left. And we need people to get in there and shift it right and say, no, we're going back to what it was. But at the same token, it's like we're going back to what it was, but we're going to progress in certain areas and make us more understanding of liberty. But I don't know. I just, the infighting right now, when you got Fox going after Marjorie Taylor Greene, accusing her of just like, oh my God, all these things, that's hilarious. Like, that is, there's trouble in paradise, man. But at the same token, it doesn't mean like all is lost. It just means like there's going to be some bad blood spilled, and I think it's going to get stronger in the long run for it, quite honestly. But fuck me, dude. If I'm not kind of enjoying the ride, I won't lie and say I'm not. Like, half this shit, it's like really funny. Either way. What else we got? Oh, interesting article here. Valerie Bertinelli explains why she can't just blame ex-husband Tom Vitale for toxic, horrible marriage. You know who she is?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the show that she was on.
Oh.
Like the, God, what was, I'm sure somebody in the chat knows.
Damn it. Well, I had a
All whole, in the Family? No, okay.
Joke for this. I had no idea who she was.
Really?
So I was going to be like, you know who that is? And be like, no, I don't. Me neither. Anyway, moving on. And yeah, well.
I'm a little bit older than you are, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry. No, who is she?
Doesn't matter now, Josh. It's ruined. The thrill is gone. Johnson.
One Day at a Time. That was it. Thanks, Dee Dee.
I've never even heard of that show. One Day at a Time?
Yeah.
Was it 70s or 80s?
I think late 70s, early 80s, maybe.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah.
Johnson says House will consider border bill alongside foreign aid after GOP rebellion threats. Speaker Mike Johnson, because he wasn't bringing anything from the border to the floor. Like, people were getting pissed about this. Like, Massey was tweeting about this. He went on, like, a tweet rage storm. Like, these last, I don't know how many hours or days, rather. He's been calling it. He's been going after people everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it's like, why are there no bills regarding the border getting brought to the floor? We've got more Ukraine aid, more Israel aid. It's like, dude, why aren't we doing something?
Wasn't it called the border bill? That's what they named it or something?
Something to that effect, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. After significant member feedback and discussion, the House Rules Committee will be posting soon today the text of the three bills that will fund America's national security interests and allies in Israel's, the Indo-Pacific, and Ukraine, including a loan structure for aid and enhanced strategy and accountability. Johnson told, like, I love the fact that we're divvying out loans to Ukraine when we are, like, indebted to China. It's like, we are taking, we're giving you loans with money that we don't have. That's what it comes down to, folks. That's that. We've got no collateral in the bank. The dollar just continues to just devalue. It's like, you know what we're going to do? Here's the geniuses in our Congress. It's like, we're going to print more money, even though our economy is just absolute shit. And we're going to send it to Ukraine. But no. We're going to get it back. It's a loan. It's going to be a good interest loan. Well, folks, when it comes to giving a loan, you know, banks ask you a series of questions to determine the likelihood or percentile of you being able to make faithful repayments on said loan to include interest so they can make money. So you know what they take into consideration? The possibility of you failing, getting fired, your financial history, your patterns, your spending behavior. Well, if we're sending billions to Ukraine and they're still under siege from Russia, we don't know. It could go either way. So it's like we're giving them a loan on money we don't have for something that could go tits up any minute. These are the dumbest motherfuckers I've ever seen.
Like, I like it. Keep going.
Vote me into Congress, folks. That can make me look. Oh, geez. Go in there and make you feel like Albert Einstein. Like, you stupid motherfuckers, man. Stupid motherfuckers. Here we are. After significant member feedback and discussion, the House Rules Committee will be posting soon today about the text three bill. Okay. A fourth bill would combine miscellaneous national security priorities, including the House's recently passed bill that could pave the way to a TikTok ban and the Repo Act, a bipartisan measure to liquefy seized Russian assets and send that money to Ukraine, as well as... Oh, my God. You know... This is pathetic. This is pathetic. Liquefy Russian assets that we've claimed over. Well, first I have to ask, how do we know these are Russian assets? Like, I'm very curious to this. And they probably acquired this using things like the FISA Act. Guaranteed. It's a money-making operation for these guys. Guaranteed. FISA, FISA, FIFA, FIFA, FOFAMA. Yeah.
It's all stupid, whatever.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, no wonder Massey's calling for Johnson to resign. Johnson's refusing. We're going to see what happens. More and more turning. Where's Matt? Here's my thing. Where's Matt Gaetz? Where is Matt fucking Gaetz? Where are you at?
Pros and cons of him staying or him leaving?
Honestly, I don't know. Him staying, we're going to see a repeat of what we got, which is basically what McCarthy was. But the thing is, McCarthy came with fundraising. That guy, he could squeeze money out of motherfuckers. Johnson, not so much. McCarthy can whip votes. Johnson, they already look at him as weak. This guy is not leadership material. So, you know, Republicans are not united behind this guy. Yeah, I mean, the guy
just...
This should
be the thing that keeps Matt Gaetz out of politics moving forward.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, that was a bad move.
But, you know, what Matt Gaetz was counting on was Johnson, whoever they decide to elect, because Matt Gaetz had no way of knowing. He could speculate. But yet nobody saw Johnson coming. People were talking about Jim Jordan. There were some other people. I thought it was going to be Jordan, but no. And then Jordan kind of passed the buck. Because I think Jim Jordan's smart enough to know, like, the conditions weren't bad enough.
They wouldn't vote. Like, they wouldn't vote for that guy because he's not...
MAGA enough, like, or this enough. Or, yeah.
You know, I don't think he would have passed a Ukraine-Israel border bill.
I would hope not.
If he did, not to the extent that
that
Mike Johnson did.
I think it's hard to say these days because politicians go in there saying one thing, then once they get in, they do another. It's
That's... I want to
take them at their word, but it's like, dude, you motherfuckers lie. I feel like I'm in an abusive relationship with the government. And it's like, you always lie. It's like, I want to believe you, but you keep punching me in the eye. It's like, we're not going to punch you in the eye. Pow, we punch you in the eye. It's like, why do I keep believing you? Because I think you're going to change. You're going to tell the truth. You're going to do the right thing. Bah, punch you in the eye again, you dumb fuck.
Idiot.
Dumbass. Yeah. Basically what it is, folks. That's what it is. Oh, my gosh. Good Lord. This Justin. Jenna. Jenna Jameson divorces. I remember, like, when this hit the news. Because, like, the woman that apparently she married is, like, this really, really butch woman or whatever. I mean, whatever. But it just kind of goes to show that, like, lesbian divorce rates are higher than, like, straight divorce rates. And also goes to show that even women can't fucking stand women. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the deal behind this one is as far as apparently there's alcohol use. I briefly skimmed through the article that Jenna, the woman that Jenna married apparently is a hardcore anti-drug, anti-drink. I guess maybe she had a past or something like that. And so she said, like, I'm hard on the fact that there was no alcohol, blah, blah, blah. So Jenna apparently went out to a party and had a few drinks. And that was what sealed the deal for her. And I'm kind of like, I understand you have a hard line on alcohol. It's like, but you're going to divorce your partner over having alcohol? And you're addicted to it? And it's like, don't you think you can work through that?
No.
No, not at all. No. Yeah.
There's some comments that her ex-wife now looks like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And after
seeing her face, I'm like, no, I can't unsee it.
Oh, my God, yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene with a pixie cut. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I can't unsee it now. That's
weird.
They're like twins.
Okay, we got to move on. Oh, I got to get that image out of my head. That's horrible. Why would you say that?
Poor Jenna. Ugh.
I don't think she's all there. I really don't. I think she's been, like, through so much shit that she's like, I don't know. When you're a porn star like that, I mean, kind of already have to be a little, eh.
Tammy said Jenna's wife was $500,000 in debt.
What?
Really?
From Jenna? Oh, shit.
I don't know. I'll have to look into that, Tammy.
Josh is like, I was really pulling for him.
I was really pulling for him.
Really pulling for him. I'm sure you were. After the Marjorie Taylor Greene thing, no, absolutely not. I don't even see how that's even remotely attractive.
Coda doesn't know okay.
That's before your time.
Jenna Jameson?
Jenna Jameson. She was like the famous, most famous porn star of like all time, I think.
Yeah, she sold her porn company for like $30 million.
Sheesh.
And then she had gotten married and lived out in Hawaii.
Yeah. A while. Had a kid.
Yeah. I wonder what happened with that.
You know, I don't know. And, you know, who knows? Who knows? People are fucking weird, dude. People are just, I don't know. These lifestyles, you know, thank God for, like, some semblance of normalcy, I guess, for myself. Because imagine living the life of, and you got one life to live, and you're a porn star. You bang all these dudes. The entire world has seen your butthole, yada, 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 yada. And everything you do is now being watched. And she has a kid.
Yeah.
And because she'd follow me on Instagram. We had talked a few times because I want to try and get her on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that because I looked into her. I'm like, huh, she had looked like she had done like a total 180 in her lifestyle.
I was happy
for
her.
She converted to Judaism. She was posting all these things about her and her kid. And now she married a woman and started.
Well, she was always posting things about his business, about like diamonds for sale, nice bags, expensive stuff. And I'm kind of like, are these things that like were yours that you bought that you're just trying to liquefy, like or liquidate? Like, what are you doing here? But I think it was his company. But yeah, apparently she went off with this chick and got married, and it's just like she doesn't post about her kid anymore. I haven't followed her for a while, but she'd stop because this has been going on for a while. But yeah. Even lesbians can't keep it together. Oh my God. All right, Tracy Beans is in the chat. John trying to be cool like me. Psh. Tracy, she's my biggest fan. Little hats off to Tracy. She's out there like doing the Lord's work. I'm over here just smack talking after an edible. That's the difference there. Porn is safer than marriage.
Tracy, did you say that Jenna Jameson follows you on Twitter?
Does she?
I thought this is what she said.
Oh, yeah. Tracy did say that. That's cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Tracy's got a huge fan club. Why? I don't know. She's about appealing as brick. I'm kidding. I love giving. I've only talked to her like a few times. I feel like she's already like a sister. Like she's, you have this personality. It's like, I can just talk shit to you because it's fun and you're not going to like take it the wrong way. Like you need those people in your life. Like Tracy's, she's good peeps.
Good recovery there, buddy.
When she's fast asleep. Oh, yeah. Anyway, meet seven of Trump's jurors. Nurse, foreman, lawyers, teacher, engineer, consultant. This is one massive, God, you talk about reality television show for prisons. That's what this is. This is like, OJ dies and we get like another OJ. Well, not like a, it's not similar. It just seems like a very social media driven trial. I think this is going to garner like the same amount of attention and views as say like Game of Thrones. Like everyone's going to be tuned into the Trump trial. And the thing is though, this is going to be great for his campaign. This is going to be great for every time they put him in the hot seat, they stick the camera in his face.
It's such good times, folks. You need to go donate to Trump. They're coming after your man Trump here.
And his fundraising goes to the roof.
Did you see him when he got to Harlem and then he was greeted by just hundreds of, if not thousands of people?
Oh, I don't doubt. I bet they love him in New York.
Being there, yeah.
Yeah, I bet they love him. Like, there's a lot of liberals in New York that run their mouths and stuff like that. But most New Yorkers, and I'm speaking anecdotally, I've spent a lot of time in New York. I feel like the blood of, like the lifeblood of New York, they're pro-Trump. Like they're not as plugged in as I would say you and I are, as far as like we watch this shit every day. They glean things here and there from headlines, blah, 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 blah. But I think a lot of them, they genuinely like Donald Trump and they view him as the antithesis to the left, or the anti-left, if you will. So it really resonates why if he shows up someplace in New York, they're gonna love him. It's the corporate liberal types, they don't. Like New Yorkers are real. I really feel like New Yorkers are actually very real when it comes to this non-woke political correct bullshit. Like you over there is like, I'm not calling them that, they fucking fruitcake. Like they don't care. So I don't know. That's why I think that they really, really do like Donald Trump. But either way, meet seven of Trump's jurors, nurse, foreman, lawyers, teachers, engineer, consultant. The judge presiding over former President Donald Trump's criminal trial swore in seven jurors on Tuesday. Four men and three women from different backgrounds with a wide variety of occupations. The New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Mercan must seat 11 more jurors, 5 jurors, and 6 alternates. I've been doing bee shopping, and I see all the bee ads on my my articles. What is this? Anyway, did I tell you get stung on the nose? Yeah.
Yeah,
I got stung on the nose over the weekend. I just walked out to the beehive just to do a little visual inspection. I didn't have my suit on. I was like a good 20 feet away. I was like, it'll be fine. No, motherfucker chases me down and just straight up ass bombs my nose. I was like, little bitch. I should just burn their hive down just because of that.
Sounds like you had it coming.
What? My bee Vietnam, we're just going to burn the villages. Trump's unprecedented trial began Monday morning with jury selection, the first day of a process that could wrap up on Monday. Yeah, they're still just in jury or juror selection. This is going to take a while, man.
I think they select like 18 altogether.
Yeah, the trial could last until June. Each Wednesday, the judge, and I think they said that he has to stay there for the entirety of the trial. Each Wednesday, the judge is not scheduled to hold proceedings, so he can attend to additional cases. During Tuesday's proceedings, Mercan allowed a juror who celebrated Trump's 2020 loss on social media to remain in the jury pool. Breitbart News reported the judge dismissed another potential juror after Trump's legal team uncovered lock him up posts on the individual's social media. Below is you would think that if you're going to get interviewed to be in like the biggest trial of the century. Wait, hold on. They probably don't know. They probably don't know what trial they're being interviewed for.
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works.
Chat, what do we think on this? What do we think?
Down that road.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it out loud, but grace to God, I've never had to, You know, so I don't want to either. But either way, do they know?
I imagine they're asked about some.
I'm not sure. That's a good question
about the trial and stuff.
I don't know. They are told. I don't know. The foreman who works in sales lives in Harlem, but is originally from Ireland. Oh, man, you don't know. That dude's white. That's, yeah.
Mommy says there's a lot of black people in China.
That's from South Park. Yeah, Harlem was like, okay, black, highly likely black. And then this is originally from Ireland. It's like, probably not. A native New Yorker who's an oncology nurse, a corporate lawyer originally from Oregon, a self-employed IT consultant who lives on the Lower East Side but grew up in Puerto Rico, a teacher and lifelong New Yorker. She was the only juror in the box who said they didn't know Trump was charged in three other cases. A software engineer who works for Disney. Oh, my God. A lawyer who lives in the Upper East Side. Yeah, that's hard. That's hard to choose from, man. Because, I mean, like, anything associated with Disney, that can go either way. Because you know Disney has no love for Republicans. A self-employed IT consultant, engineer. Oh, I don't know. Native New Yorker who's an oncology nurse. I would think they'd probably be more pro-Trump if we had like a scale. What oncology nurse. Where would you think an oncology nurse in New York would stand politically?
Probably.
We're like spitballing hard left. On this one. Think so? Left, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Was she a part of any of the TikTok dancing videos? COVID dancing videos.
Oh, my gosh.
That would help me with my decision quite a bit.
After they complete the questionnaires, lawyers from both sides will scrutinize the potential candidates. The lawyers will likely investigate the jurors' social media and ask more personal questions to screen for biases. Blah, blah, blah. Man, this is going to be... They said by June it's going to be over. Do you think it'll be over? I don't think so. Think it'll be... Because I kind of feel like this is going to be the biggest trial.
I feel like it's pretty open and shut, and it shouldn't even be to this point.
Yeah.
Because, what was it? True. Past the statute of limitations to start off with.
It's not like they're trying him for murder or anything. So.
Yeah. It just.
I think they're going to try and hype this thing up, though. But
if anything, it's just more.
It's more publicity for him.
It's more bad publicity for Trump.
Which is good. He's going to fundraise like crazy on that. Yeah, and there's another article that says potential juror dismissed after Trump's legal team finds lock him up posts on social media. So that's the reason I asked that question. I was like, okay, do they know what kind of trial they're in for?
I think they
do. And okay,
yeah.
So if you think they know, then this guy is going in there to be a juror possibly for a Trump trial, and you clearly hate the guy. Why aren't you scrubbing your social media?
Maybe there's just so much on there. You know what I mean?
I just kind of feel like if your goal is that you hate Donald Trump. And you want to, you know, not give a damn about the trial or just whatever. You just want to stick it to the man. Like, I don't know. Or maybe they're just being honest. But then again, I would hope they'd admit that it's like, yeah, I'm biased. We'll see.
Here's an article on the, it's a conservative brief. I saw Dinesh D'Souza posted it. But it's they interviewed a girl who was being interviewed to be on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like they just ask her a bunch of questions and then let her know if she's going to make it or not make it, I think.
It's like America's Got Talent, but for jurors.
Yeah.
Yeah. You make it to the next round.
It says that at another point, McGee confessed that she was not a fan of the former president and appeared to blame him for the spreading of COVID-19 virus. I'm not a fan, McGee added, for her personal thoughts on Trump during the COVID-19. I live with somebody who is immune and uncompromised and think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal.
Yeah.
It goes on. But
I'm sure
she's
not biased. You know, it makes me also wonder if some of these people say this because they don't want to be on the trial. They don't want to be associated with it.
Could be.
They don't want to be to risk being in the spotlight. I mean, I mean, think about that. Like, you could be selected as a juror that you're going to be trying someone that has a massive voter base of very, very energized voters. And if for some reason you vote against this guy, send him to jail, and your information gets leaked, you got a target on your back for the rest of your life. Yeah. I mean, I kind of see that.
Yeah.
So I wonder if like some of these people are making this shit up.
Like I
don't know. Have you seen the NPR thing that's going on right now? National Public Radio?
They want to defund it?
NPR editor Yuri Berliner resigns after bombshell explodes, reveals network's pervasive left-wing bias. NPR's leftist? No, you don't.
Like, who's just now realizing this?
This just in, Disney likes the gays. No shit. Does anybody out there really think that NPR, anything publicly funded, it's normally leans left?
Yeah.
This is not news.
Always.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe it's because they'd never seen it like just this on the nose. Yeah. Uri Berliner, a veteran editor and reporter for National Public Radio who was suspended without pay after publishing a lengthy essay denouncing the outlet's liberal bias, has resigned from the broadcaster. He says, I'm resigning from NPR, a great American institution where I've worked for 25 years, Berliner wrote on his ex social media account on Wednesday. I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism. Berliner wrote that he cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problem at NPR I cite in my free press essay. Berliner was referring to Catherine Mayer, the chief executive at NPR, who has come under fire for a series of woke social media posts in which she criticized Hillary Clinton for using the term boy and girl because it was erasing language for non-binary people. Yeah. So I just started this little journey and it already smells like retard. Just smells like retard. Mayer, who also appeared to justify looting in 2020 during the Black Lives Matter protests, says it was hard to be mad about the destruction. In 2018, she wrote a post denouncing then-President Donald Trump as a racist before deleting it. On Tuesday, NPR spokeswoman Isabella Lara said in a statement to Mayer, was not working in journalism at the time and was exercising a First Amendment right to express herself like any other American citizen. Yes. Because we've seen so often and frequently in the past that when you've got left-wingers that go so far left as this with so much passion, yes, it's very rare to see that spill over to their professional world. They definitely keep that just in the politics spectrum, right? Oh, fuck no, they don't. What are you talking about? She was just expressing it for... Yes, of course she was. Of course she was. And if it was a Republican that was being fired from a leftist thing, you'd be saying the same fucking thing. Stop with this bullshit. She's just expressing her First Amendment. Of course she is, and no one's arguing that she can't. This is a non-issue. They call this a red herring. Or straw-manning it, if you will. That's not the issue. The issue is this bitch is bias. And this is publicly funded. You're supposed to be neutral. That's the issue. Bitch. I mean, this is not a hard thing to understand. But the thing that I love about this is these writers, they think you're the... Well, you know what? Maybe you are the stupid. I don't know. A good portion of Americans vote Democrats, so fuck me if that... It's probably... You know, because they're right into their own demographic, and their demographic's just the ones stupid enough to eat this shit up without question.
Yeah, huh?
That's who they're writing for. This is not the common sense listener. It's ridiculous. Mayer, who took up the role of CEO of NPR in late March, responded to Berliner's essay by claiming that the veteran journalist was being profoundly disrespected, hurtful, and demeaning to his colleagues. She accused Berliner of questioning whether our people are serving our mission with integrity based on little more than recognition of their identity. In Berliner's essay title, I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. Berliner said that among editorial staff at NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters, he counted 87 registered Democrats and no Republicans.
Huh.
Well, geez, man.
Wonder which way the reporting's going to lean.
No shit, right? Well, Bob, we got this entire building staffed with hardline Republicans. So we're going to put out some great, great, great porn content. That doesn't make sense, does it? Well, if that doesn't make sense, why does like an old Democrat staff think that you're not going to write leftist pieces? I mean, come on. Probably in their circle jerking each other as they do. Who can be more woke? It's like the Woke Olympics. That should be a reality TV show that I would watch.
The Woke Olympics?
The Woke Olympics. Like, no, I'm dead serious. Like, think about this for a second, folks. And I know I'm high, but this does actually make sense to me. wouldn't it be entertaining if you took the most woke LGBT whatever and you put them in kind of like a Big Brother situation? They're all in the same house, have to share the same facilities. That'd be fucking fun as hell to watch. Like, watch them unintentionally, like, misgendering each other, stepping, just all kinds of hilarious. What, the best part, though? The meltdowns. Watching these freaks melt down over the dumbest shit. He keeps putting his furry fox outfit in the dryer and clogging up the lint roll. It's crazy dumb shit. And Sparkles Rainbow keeps getting sparkles all over the toilet seat when he's chending out his freaking tampon into his anus pussy, whatever it is, butt pose. I don't know what they call it. Oh, you see what I tweeted or I posted yesterday on Instagram about the dude in the hospital, the older guy, with the gay couple, and he's holding his balls and say, I've got my brand new pussy. You see that? Yeah. It's real, folks. Go to my Instagram. It's there. It's there. And the guy's literally got each of his testicles in a jar. He's holding it. And if that's not sick enough, this dude just chopped his nuts off and gave himself a hole.
Yeah, his boyfriend was behind him giving him bunny ears.
Yeah, and his boyfriend looks to be in his, like, what, mid to early 20s? This guy's got a gray beard. Okay? I think we know where we're going with that. It's like these stereotypes. Like I said, we're not just pulling them out of our asses. There's a lot of kind of like empirical evidence, like, or at least anecdotal at best. Give me that. Give me that. Literally right there in the tweet is like, what the shit nuggets? Should I, y'all want to, fuck it, I'll do it. I'm going to show you. This is the benefits of watching the podcast live. You get to see the craziest shit.
You get to see this weirdo hold up his balls.
Bro, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I can, I do. These freaks, man. I'm telling you. I don't get them. I thought, like I said, I thought it was fake at first. And dude's just making show. He's in the hospital bed. Oh, fuck. I can't get to it right now. Son of a bitch. Oh, wait. Maybe you can't. No, I can't. Damn it. Son of a bitch. Hold on. I think I got it. Yep. Here it is. Got it. Oh, my God. Here we go. Brace yourself, folks. Just got my new pussy. Here I am holding my balls with my husband and my nicely wrapped up and protected pussy. What? Oh my God, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Our ancestors conquered the pioneers and frontiers.
Hey guys, look at my new pussy.
This is what America has turned. Oh my God. Yeah, let them get married. Let them do all this stuff and look what we got. Chopping off my nuts to make a pussy. How does that even work? That's just, yeah. These dudes just look like perverts. They
can't
just look like
pussy on you.
Strap on this pussy on me. I can't wait to go and fuck your pussy, George. Doesn't, no. No. This is not right. This is not, this is no.
He didn't say vagina.
No, like he just went. Wasn't even ladylike about
it. Still the man in him.
Exactly. About to come fuck this pussy, huh?
You get some of this pussy.
And the weird thing is, like, the younger husband, he looks like the beta.
He does.
He does. And the like.
It looks like he should have gotten a pussy.
I kind of want to throw up, dude. This is so fucking gross. What is wrong with these people? Just,
What's wrong with the doctor that did it?
They don't give a fuck. It's money.
That's what I mean.
You chop your balls off and pay me $50,000. Like,
clearly
go ahead.
Crazy.
Oh, clearly.
For wanting to cut his balls off and dick off and everything. But the doctor that does it, he couldn't talk him out of it?
No.
I wonder if the surgery was here in the United States.
Oh, probably. I mean, he wasn't spelling with an accent.
Whoever that doctor is, I want to know so I could avoid him.
Are you planning on having surgery?
You know what I mean? Like, that's not a doctor that I would want to go see for anything. Like,
well, I doubt that's going to be a doctor you ever have to worry about seeing because it's probably like specialized in that shit.
I still like to know who these people are.
Oh, yeah, clearly. It's disgusting.
It really is. It's like taking advantage of someone with mental problems.
Dude, I can't. It's like a train wreck. It's like a train wreck. It's disgusting.
It's just, yeah.
I can't stop hearing it in that voice. My nicely wrapped up protected pussy. Oh, my God. Does that just get you in the move? Does that get you in the mood?
Yeah, that does it.
It does it for you? God. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. I figured, if I had to see that, so did you. So did you. My God.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well known that it's just a gaping hole.
That's disgusting.
An open wound.
And you have to, keep something inside of it to keep it... It's literally an open wound.
Yeah.
How is that not partially necrophilia? You're fucking dying tissue. Unless it heals. Oh my gosh. And they want this for children. They want this for children. We should do a shirt like that. Made the Crusades great again. I think I'm going to do that. That'd be a great shirt. Made the Crusades? Nah, maybe not. Well, it could be like in a, like something like a Templar cross. Made the Crusades great again. Death to the Muslims. Something along those lines. I mean, it's essentially what it was is the Christians versus the Muslims. It's like the tale as old as time. It's when the WWE SmackDown really first started coming about. So we got Saladin versus King Richard the Lionheart. Yeah. A little sad story. I think I told you this before, but the story of Robin Hood. Robin Hood was based on the fact that King Richard went off to Jerusalem to fight the Holy War, and his brother stayed behind to rule England, and then Robin Hood came about. Well, King Richard, it was part of the Crusades. He, fought hard to get to Jerusalem. And then got within a mile away and said, we can't keep going. He said, basically, we can't. If we took Jerusalem, we can't hold it. So he had to turn back around and go back to England because he knew England was in trouble. He made it up close to Jerusalem to get it. He's like, but even if we take it, we can't hold it. He's like, we've lost too much. It's like, dude, talk about ugh.
It's a long walk back.
It's a long walk back, man. It's crazy.
Would you have gone back to England?
Probably, it's where my home's at.
You're like, you know what? I'm here. Might as well go and check it out, right?
I'm a blend in. I'm hungry. Yeah, I'm sure the Bedouins are really going to love me out here.
We don't have to go to. We could just meet these people, right?
We could just conquer where we're at, King Richard. I mean, we've done it before.
I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? People are going to start cutting their balls off and claiming they have a pussy.
Oh, my gosh. You see this Madison Cawthorn thing that happened? I saw this come across my timeline on Twitter. Former GOP congressman crashes into Florida Highway Patrol vehicle in an alleged road rage incident. Report: an attorney for former U.S. Representative Madison Cawthorn would neither confirm or deny that he rear-ended a Florida state trooper on Monday. So what I saw come across my feed was a woman that said he was apparently tailgating her and was getting all swervy on her. And then he raced ahead of her or something like that. And then she drives by and sees that he was in the wreck. It's like, that was the asshole that was tailgating me and acting like a prick. Doesn't look good. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of, and the reason that it stuck out to me is somebody retweeted it and said, Madison Cawthorn will not stand for the slander.
Yikes.
And I'm a fan. I like the dark humor. You got to laugh. Otherwise, you're going to cry. I saw this. We'll end the show with this one. This is, it says, we're living through one of the biggest cultural backlashes in history. This is from CNN. I listened to part of it, and I want you to give it a listen. And give me your thoughts on this one, because it's very profound. It's very interesting. And I want to see where people stand on this. Let me get it going here.
CNN anchor Fareed Zakaria, he's author, the author of a brand new book called Age of Revolutions, Progress and Backlash from 1600 to the Present, which debuted this week on the New York Times bestseller list at number 2. All right, Fareed, let's get you up to number 1. In your book, you call this time, quote, perhaps the most revolutionary period in human history. I want to ask you about that because this U.S. slice of that is really interesting. Recent polls show Donald Trump and Joe Biden in a neck-and-neck race in battleground states. I think in the wake of the January...
I do respect the fact that this host is very good at concealing his stupidity because he keeps a pretty straight face for the most of the time. Unlike Don Lemon, you can just see the gayness just oozing out of him. It's just like, come on, we know you're freaking, you're biased, you hate Trump, you hate whites, you hate him, but come on. Which is ironic because the guy like turns around and marries a white dude. It's like if white men are the terrorists and you're marrying them, it's like, what does it say about you? Like a terrorist empathizer? Like, it's, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Anyway.
January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol, a lot of people would have been surprised back then that we were at this point today. How do you explain it?
We're living through one of the biggest cultural backlashes that we have seen in history. It's a backlash against, you know, 30 years of accelerating globalization, accelerating technological change, a huge identity revolution, and it's left a lot of people feeling deeply unnerved. What I show in my book is that the form this takes now is this broad cultural backlash, which says, you know, stop this world, I want to get off. And Donald Trump is riding that wave. What the Biden people don't seem to recognize is that this is fundamentally a new cultural war. They're still waiting for the economy to improve and hoping that that will lift Biden as it has traditionally. But the problem is we're in a revolutionary period. It's a break from history. It's all these cultural issues now. Wall Street Journal poll last week, Jake, said number one issue on people's minds is immigration. Mm. Immigration is the core of this new cultural war.
So we got these new economic numbers this week that show the economy is definitely strong, even if a lot of Americans don't.
We were when you and I were coming back, we were listening to the radio talking about, I forget which quarter it was. They said that over 300 something thousand jobs have been created. And they said that, but what they're also not telling you is a lot of those jobs went to foreigners and not actual native born Americans. It's like they're like the illegal immigrants and all the stuff they're doing in like these states like New York, places like Chicago, where they're doing a lot of incentivization towards hiring illegals, creating stuff for them. It's like that's where the job creation is coming from. It's like a large part of this thing. This is the overwhelming majority is not going to Native Americans, not going to regular American citizens. It's going to illegal immigrants, which is not shocking. Not shocking at all.
Yeah.
Don't feel that way, although polling suggests a lot of them feel like their personal economic situation's good, but they're worried about the economy writ large. Why are voters more focused on immigration than it's the economy, stupid, which used to be what people said about politics? It really all depends on how well pocketbook issues are going.
Well, it's a great question, and it isn't just Biden, by the way. This break between how people felt about the economy and what the president's approval ratings were began with Obama. The economy boomed under Obama. His approval ratings never really went up. Donald Trump, until before COVID, presided over a pretty good economy. His approval ratings never budged much. And the reason, as I try to show in the book, is that what you've had over the last 30 or 40 years is a decline in the core importance of economics, partly maybe because we've become a kind of mass middle class society, and the rise of all these what social scientists call post-materialistic issues. It used to be you could predict where somebody would be voting based on, you know, how rich they were, their place in the economy. Today, it's your views on what I call the 3 G's, God, guns, and gays. Huh. That is the strongest predictor of how you will vote.
So today, obviously, marks 6 months since Hamas attacked Israel. And now in the retaliation for that and the effort to eliminate Hamas, there's this humanitarian crisis mounting in Gaza. Israel's vowing to open this new aid route after pressure from President Biden. What do you expect the next 6 months to look like? Do you think this war will end in that period?
I think it has to end at some point. The really crucial issue is whether Israel is thinking about what the political structure is.
All right, he just keeps going. But I thought it was interesting how he talked about how technology in the last 30 years has just really, you know, taken a fast forward effect. And we look at these things like social media, Facebook, all these different apps out there where you're just constantly being bombarded by a big wall of negativity. It's a very, very cancerous environment, and that's just one aspect of it. So I'm talking about for like the overall mental health of a society as a whole. It just, it feels like the more that we've advanced in technology as far as social media goes, it's not led in a good direction. It feels like kids are growing up way faster. We are exposed to so much information, so much emotional manipulation to a degree. And all within the span of like seconds, if you think about it, you scroll on your phone on TikTok, it's whatever, and you experience a series of emotions. And we've talked about this multiple times, but people are addicted to this. And I understand why. I get the appeal. Social media is built like building a community in a sense of like you want to speak your mind in certain ways. You want to be seen. You want to be heard. You want validation to a degree. That's why it's so addicting and enticing to a lot of people that say, for example, you know, don't have strong friendships outside of that. So I do see the allure of it. But with that addiction comes the constant bombardment of ads, negativity, propaganda. It's like, it just feels like you're trying to do something with the best of intentions, yet whether it be through your, I think people know by now, they know that when you get into these apps, you're going to get a lot of political bullshit thrown your way, regardless of which side you're at. But it just feels like all this came at a cost, and our kids have been thrown into these cultural issues that dominate society by and large. And I find myself a part of this sometimes because, you know, I think people will make this expectation or have this expectation that if we're going to do something, it's like, well, where does John align politically on it? Would he be open-minded to doing that? It's like, I'm not as closed-minded as you think. It's like, I'm okay with a lot of things. Like, the only things I don't like doing are going to Target during gay month. It's like, I just don't want to deal with the bullshit. It's like, but outside of that, it's like, you know, the Bud Light boycott. It's like, I just don't care. I don't care to that much of an extent. But there's a lot of people that say, for example, won't go to a Target because Target's pro-LGBT or whatever. And it's like, if you're going to go to that level, that's going to be a very difficult life to live. Now, I do understand it because I feel like it is getting worse, and at least they have the foundations laid to begin that economic civil war, in a sense, if you will. But the cultural revolution that we're going through right now, I don't think this is like one of those age of enlightened thinking where we come out better for it on the opposite side. We are going through an age of, I want to say, just gross... what would you call having to explain why a man is a man and a woman is a woman? Like, we're not going through a period where we're making ourselves better. We're having to readdress basic shit that was understood back when man first hit the scene. That's how advanced and retarded we are. That's how pathetic this is. This is what technology has brought us. And if you think about it, it came a lot from the mentally ill types of the trans, all this other nonsense, and it united them. Gave them a perceived voice on social media, helped them rally, helped them make movements, grow their numbers. So now you've got the insane people running the asylum. And then you have weak-minded effeminate types. You have a battle on the feminine versus masculinity front. And that's been going on for, man, a long time now. It's where feminists are coming in there trying to like do all this man-hating, trying to demasculate men, toxic masculinity, blah, 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 blah. So while you have all the mentally ill people out there uniting, pushing these causes like chopping your nuts off, trans and the kids, real men are afraid to stand up because they're getting attacked by the feminist movements by saying, oh, you're just, you're misogynistic, blah, 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 blah. So you got that war going on. So yeah, it feels like we are in the midst of a big cultural battle between these progressive people that have just gone off the rails of sanity to such an extreme that you are literally chopping your nuts off to give yourself a man pussy. This is how fucking stupid you are. And people call this progress? Fuck me running, dude. I thought we'd be pulling like some Jetson shit by now with like cars and stuff. Nothing. No, what do we got? Yeah, hey.
This wasn't in Back to the Future.
Oh, hell no. My God. Shit made sense back then.
It really now, did. That was 1985. They're yeah. We're going to have these cool shoes.
Flags, hoverboard. I'm still waiting on the damn hoverboard, man. No, still waiting on that.
You got this guy holding his balls up, talking about his pussy.
This is what degeneracy gets you when it's given, when it's taken off the leash. This is what it is. And you can't argue that because we've literally shown you the proof today via a tweet. Dude, hold his balls up. You know, in certain cultures, I'd say most cultures, they'd have chopped your head off. Because they don't want that degeneracy spreading. Because why? Well, look at America. This is what happens. You've got a nation of degeneracy. Grown-ass men. And that dude, I'm telling you, man, that dude had to be in his 60s. And his husband, whoever, he's in his 20s. Like, there's some grooming going on there. There is some grooming going on there. That's just, ugh.
I got a feeling it's not going to last.
He's going to get his first yeast infection. They'll have a fight and break up. Who knows?
You know, he's going to be like, why can't I just go have a real vagina?
Yeah, you know, right? Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I just don't understand these motherfuckers. All right, folks, that does it for today's episode of the All-American Savage Show podcast. We appreciate you being here. We'll be back tomorrow right here at the same time. I think we'll be pushing the show to 1 p.m. CST, though. Give ourselves some leeway there. So 1 p.m. CST tomorrow, probably. Make sure you follow me at John Burke Show over on Twitter, John Burke Insta over on Instagram. We appreciate you, and if you will like the show, if you enjoy what you hear, head over to Locals. Go support us there. Throw $5 our way like the cheap little sluts that we are. Help us out. We appreciate you. We love you. Got anything to add, my man?
You guys have a great night.
And as always, leave them kids alone, Democrats.